Welcome to the Produce Industry Podcast, your weekly download on current events, trends, market reports, and community discussions. Join us each week from Tampa, Florida, as we cover all aspects of the produce supply chain industry. Ladies and gentlemen, here's your host, Patrick Kelly.
Welcome back to the Produce Industry Podcast, everyone. I'm Patrick Kelly. As always, I am honored to be here coming to you live from Tampa, Florida. That's right, everyone. The Super Bowl was last weekend. I'm not even going to talk about it. You figure it out. I'm not either fan of either team because I am from California and I am a San Diego or a Los Angeles Chargers fan. I'm just going to leave it at that, okay? Today, we have two very special guests on the line today. Well, starting out, we have our standard sponsor, Indianapolis Fruit Company's very own Daniel Corsaro, president of Indianapolis Fruit Company. Now, Daniel is a very forward-focused and performance-driven business leader with experience in multiple B2B and consumer channels. We're going to learn a little bit about Indy Fruit Company and their consistent growth in the produce and supply chain industry. Next, we have our featured guest, Joseph Manns with JMC Brands. Now, he is right down the street from me in Clearwater, Florida. Joseph and I met at a networking event in 2020, or actually, I think 2019. It doesn't matter at this point. You're going to hear about it all on the show today. Joseph also manages our Flavor Wave branding and marketing for the Flavor Wave Fresh application. If you haven't checked that out, please go to the Google Play or Apple App Store and download Flavor Wave Fresh to check out a direct-to-consumer produce application delivery model. Now, Mr. Joe Manns is going to give us a deep dive on conversations about digital marketing, how to promote your brand, and getting into it. Just starting, okay? So everyone, let's get Daniel Corsaro on the phone from Indianapolis Fruit Company and get this party started today. Hey, Daniel, welcome to the show today.
Hey, Patrick, how you doing?
Oh, man, fantastic. It is Monday. I'm ready to go. The week is ahead of us, and I'm just glad to have our standard sponsor on the line. And Daniel, I really appreciate you coming on. Ross and I have had a great time over the last 6 months, even before he came on with Indy Fruit. We had some good conversation. Now he's at Indy Fruit, and it feels like the conversation keeps getting better and better, man. Like, we're having just more in-depth conversation, learning about Indy Fruit, learning about all the states you guys are in. I think it's like 19 now. You just helped open a store down here. Well, not helped, but you're supplying a store down here in Seminole that I was going to check out. So, man, you guys are just, you're doing a great job, and you're just everywhere at this point, it seems, here on the East Coast now that I'm here in Florida.
Yeah, it's been an interesting couple of months to the last year and a half for us. We certainly were able to pair some of our individual growth goals up with some of the situations that are, you know, obvious to everybody involved in what's going on in the world. But it's been a strong past year and a half, 2 years for us. It's a testament to the team that we have and the resources that have been made available to us by our partners.
Yeah, that's fantastic. I've been watching the growth. I remember in 2020, I remember telling you, I was like, man, I've been quoting Indy Fruit for 10 plus years and, you know, all the fun stuff. And because look, you guys are a pretty cool business. You're a wholesaler. In the East Coast, there's a lot of wholesalers on the East Coast, right? There's a lot of groups. You guys differentiate yourself a little bit. I love watching those weekend winners too, man. One thing I've seen over the course of Indy Fruit is that you're a source for content to understand what's in the market too. Some of the items that you guys even produce on the show, on your YouTube channel, I sat there and was like, wait a minute. Indy Fruit does all these, right? I even saw some of the oranges because, you know, I'm in citrus, Daniel. So I see like Rising Sea Ranches and I see like some of the other products that you have in. I'm like, oh my gosh, those are some of our neighbors in the Central Valley that we pack from like Golden Star. So it's so interesting. That kind of always sprung to me because as we started the podcast and putting the weekend winners on, we started getting consumers saying, hey, where do you get that organic blend? Where do you get that romaine? And I was sitting there going, wow, like that's actually reaching consumers now. And that's the goal, right? We want to get our products out into the hands of consumers.
Yep. No, certainly. I mean, consumers are the lifeblood of what we do. And you've talked about it at length on your podcast is the more fresh fruit and vegetable consumption we can drive as industry partners and stewards of the industry will benefit all of us at all levels of the supply chain. But you know, for us, you talked about the East Coast a little bit. So Indianapolis Fruits, we're based in the Midwest. We're trying to get all the way to the East Coast, but right now we're really focused on the Midwest Central Corridor and the Southeast portion of the United States. You alluded to how many states we're touching on a daily basis. We hit, you know, give or take 2,500 retail doors, and about 90% of our business is all DSD delivery. So that takes a lot of trust being built with retail partners. And that's something that we've hung our hat on over time, is making sure that when, you know, retailers are trusting us with their supply chain, they understand that we're focused on generating success for them, which translates into success for us, not worried about what we're selling them or putting into the back door of their facilities.
Yeah, for sure, man. Isn't it funny? I mean, I'm a Californian. I know I live in Tampa, but isn't it funny? Everything west, I mean, let's see, east of the Rockies is the East Coast to me.
Nah, that's okay, man. We, some of those guys out on the East Coast, we do some business with, but that's a tough market out there. So for us, really, you know, we're taking Indianapolis, west over towards Kansas City, all the way down into the northern part of Florida, as you alluded to. And then we do get pretty far east, but certainly not up into the upper East Coast. So we're working on it, but it's calculated growth, it's targeted growth, and there are specific markets where we see a gap or a need for our services, and we want to make sure that we're, you know, getting those markets taken care of and onboarded appropriately before we start stretching ourselves too thin.
Yeah, I mean, listen, that's the goal, right? Strategy and then execution. You got to have both. They got to play a role. You got to put strategy before you execute. But then you also have to execute that strategy once you put the strategy in place. So you're right. It's all calculated. And I think that as your growth is I would say, springboarding, I've seen some of the hires, new hires you're bringing on. You're bringing on good, talented people. You're bringing on experts that are going to help grow your business. As I always say, Daniel, you're hiring people that are probably smarter than you, right? That's the goal. Steve Jobs said it. Hire someone smarter than you, because then they will take your vision and produce at a different level, right? I mean, that's the goal. Hire people that are smarter than you, everyone, so they will springboard your business and help out as well. Daniel.
Absolutely. I mean, look, people are the straw that stir the drink. Every organization that's been successful for the length of time, you know, there's a product or a service that really catapults them, but that is powered by the people that are there, the people that service the customer, the people that produce the goods, the people that do the research and development. We always talk about, you know, people in our organization are one of our largest competitive advantages. And we work really hard not only to continue to improve the people that we have and bring those individuals that have been with us a long time forward in their career, but more than anything, you know, we want those people to feel like they could get exposure to the industry and be face to face with the customers, because we trust and appreciate everything that they bring to the table.
That's fantastic, man. That's a leader right there, everyone. Take it from Daniel. He is leading in the fruit and produce, the supply chain industry, I would say, not just even the fruit and vegetable, it's the supply chain industry, even though we say this is the produce industry podcast, but it incorporates a lot more than just produce, everyone. So Daniel, I want to thank you for coming on the show today. We are going to get our featured guest on the line next. Everyone, please check out Indianapolis Fruit Company on YouTube. Check them out on Instagram at Indy Fruit. Check out their weekend winners, everybody. The weekend winners will give you a keen sight on what is in the Midwest, not the East Coast all the way, but in the Midwest, and what Indianapolis Fruit Company is producing, distributing on a daily and weekly basis. Again, Daniel, thanks for coming on the show today, and thank you for being a sponsor of the podcast.
Thanks, Patrick. Appreciate what you guys are doing, and look forward to collabing a lot more in the future.
Great to hear from Indianapolis Fruit Company and talk about their growth, their weekend winners, and all the collaboration in the produce and supply chain industry. Let's hear from one more sponsor and then get to Joseph Manns at JMC Brands.
This year's marketing forecast is calling for a storm. Whether your end customer is the produce consumer or another produce industry business, United Fresh's Brandstorm Conference should be on your radar. The industry's signature marketing event, Brandstorm, will be virtual this year, starting March 9th. The forecast is calling for a digital deluge as marketers come together under one umbrella to address the most pressing marketing challenges of 2021. Lightning strikes inspiration from around the globe. Learn new marketing trends and tools, and explore strategies to improve your current marketing efforts. Grab your galoshes and get ready to puddle jump through 3 days of education, discussion, and networking during the 6th annual Brandstorm. Keep an eye on the storm. Visit unitedfresh.org to register.
It was great to hear from Indianapolis Fruit Company and our sponsors here at the Produce Industry Podcast. Now let's bring our featured guest on the line, Joe Manns with JMC Brands.
Hey, Joe, welcome to the show today.
Hey, Pat, thanks for having me today, man.
Oh, man, I was going to say long time in the making, but it's crazy. We actually just put this together a couple of weeks ago, so I wouldn't say it was that long in the making. We tried we tried to do a podcast back when I went to your office in Clearwater a couple of months ago, but we got caught up in other digital marketing and tactics working on FlavorWave. I think we forgot, to be real.
Honestly, man, that's the great thing I think about good partnerships is when you can get together and quickly and easily get off track. I mean, let's face it, that both of us are visionaries. You put us in the room and creativity is going to happen. So I'm glad we were able to make some time today to come back to it.
I was going to say, dun, 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 you start talking, man, we could be in a wormhole, or, you know, if you've ever get lost in that TikTok space, you could be that could be being the visionary, just like get lost in this space of like tunnel vision for hours and hours at a time. Joe, I appreciate you coming on the show today, man. You know, everybody, Joe and I met a little over almost a year and a half ago at a networking event. When there were networking events that you know that you could go
back
to
in the day, back in the day when people could get together and do that kind of thing.
Back in the day, man, where you would back in the days, you know, we talk about networking events too, man. You would look to see if it was busy or not. You would actually have a strategy to go, should I show up late? Should I show up a little early? Should I meet the host? Right now, it's like you're sitting there going, should I go at all?
You know. Right. But, yeah, that's true. And you know what's funny about that particular event where I met you? I had just moved to Tampa about a year prior to that, and I'd been kind of establishing myself here. So that was the first networking event that I decided I was going to go to that was in the Tampa area. And, oh, man, and to this date, I think it's really the only one I went to because shortly after that, it all got shut down, brother.
You know, that's so crazy. And then shout out to Greg Maselli at the Tampa Bay Business Network. Cause that's kind of, like I said, I was going around meeting people through the colleges. I mean, I don't think when I first met you, I was working with Hillsborough Community College and I wasn't even talking about fruit back then. It was about the college and it was about my book, Millennial Boom. And I remember we even did an interview at your OG office. Cause now Joe's moved to a different office in Clearwater, same building, but different office. But I do remember doing an interview with you, had your son there, and we had a good time back then. So as you can tell, everybody, whoever comes on the show, I have met them in some way, shape, or form in a networking event or through a business colleague or at a trade show. But, you know, even going through 2020, we met a lot of people online, LinkedIn, I would say Facebook, Instagram, all these different channels of marketing. Now, Joe and I are going to talk a little bit about marketing and digital marketing strategies. We're going to go a little high level for everyone. We won't get too in the weeds of it because Joe and I, like I said, could get into a rabbit hole and it could be 2 hours later. You'll be like that SpongeBob, you know, we go like commercial. It's like 4 hours later. You know what I mean? So, but that's what we're going to talk about today because I believe, Joe, that the produce and supply chain industry, you know, this is the 2021 is the year of fruits and vegetables, Joe. And I really think that, you know, if you are a brand or thinking about, you know, discovering or inventing a brand, then it's time. It's time to bring that to the table. And I want you to talk a little bit about, you know, bringing your brand to the digital surface, you know, because a lot of people in my industry just aren't too sure about it yet.
Yeah. So first, I'd just kind of like to introduce who JMC Brands is, what our company is, and what we do. We are a digital first omni-channel agency. And what that means is that all of the clients that we work with do have a digital component to whatever their marketing plan is. So whether it's strategy that you're looking for or just executing a media plan, it has to have some sort of digital component because we believe that digital is not the be all to end all, but it is definitely a critical component in today's brand building and marketing campaigns. So that's kind of what we do. We help people bring new brands to market. We help people elevate the brands that they maybe already have or that currently exist. We help with the media planning, the media buying, and execution of media plans all the way around. So it's really start to finish, but as long as there's a digital component to what you're doing. And that's what JMC Brands likes to do. It's what we do best. And so that's who we are and what we do.
You know, it's funny, as you said, something very important is you said, that's what JMC Brands likes to do. Think about it, everybody. You got to like and love what you do as well. And that's what I found so fascinating about Joe is when we first met, there was a lot of other competitors, I would say, in the space of this digital marketing. And some people, there's a difference between social media marketing and digital marketing, everyone. Trust me, that I've learned this over the years. And it's crazy because, like I said, it's an omni-channel marketing, and Joe has a passion for doing it. So it's fun to watch him work with our brand, which is FlavorWave, and rolling out the app and watching these things come in and going, hey, how did this work? And it's like, well, this is the strategy that we put in place. So that's obviously very cool. Now, produce industry, man, there's some brands out there. I mean, here, all right, everyone. Little test here for Joe, but Joe, like, can you name some produce brands for me? I mean, any that you could, you know, think of off the bat that you've seen in grocery stores, or, you know, hit me up. Let me see what you got, man.
Boy, here we go. Well, you know, when I was in the Army, I was stationed in Hawaii, so I know about Dole pineapples. Ooh. Halos and Cuties and Sunkist, are some of the citrus brands that I'm familiar with. You really got to think hard. That's a tough question because you really got to think hard about it, really, in the produce space, man. I mean, it's just because to me, it's like just bare fruits and vegetables. Like when you walk in the grocery store, it's just like a bunch of like fruits and vegetables there, or you go to like a farmer's market and there really doesn't seem to be any brand associated. But I know Halos and Cuties because I've bought them. I've got kids and we bought them for our kids for a long time.
They got you. They hooked you in.
They hooked me in, bro.
Well, no, listen, you got four brands, which is pretty cool. Obviously Joe works with our brand, so I'm glad he didn't mention those because we would be like, come on, Joe, a little biased there, man. He named our brands first, but that's cool though, that you brought an experience, obviously, Hawaii, thinking about the Dole pineapples and then a couple oranges. Obviously we work with citrus, so I know you've talked about it as well. But yeah, everyone, think about it. What about the strawberries, right? What about the grapes? What about the broccoli? What about the mangoes? What about the carrots, right? I mean, I know some of these people, right? You can name it, Grimway, for carrots. Strawberries could be Driscoll's, you know what I mean? Avocado could be Terra Exports, our sponsor, right? Or a brand, which could be Mission Avocado. Apples could be Arctic Apples, or could be Bell Harvest, right? I mean, you could see a lot of these. Heck, I see apples that have the Nickelodeon Paw Patrol apples out there,
right?
So it's crazy because you're right, Joe. You go into the store, and we've commoditized our business. The produce industry kind of has, and we're trying to get away from commoditizing our business because that is the wrong thing to do. It's commoditizing your fruits and vegetables, which I understand why they do it. But all right, so. Very good point. So why does it matter to have a brand then, man? I mean, with everybody deeming us to be a commodity, why is it important for us to at least have a brand or try to establish a brand, in this produce and, supply chain industry?
Well, I'll tell you what's really important, or interesting. I mean, is, working with you and working with FlavorWave and other folks in the produce industry, I've learned a lot about how the industry works, and it's unique. It is, it's very unique as compared to some other consumer brands. Like I've worked on, Xbox and L'Oreal and, a bunch of different, national brands, and in their consumer marketplace, brand is everything. Brand is, I mean, it's essential. It's how do you position yourself as compared to the competition? What is your unique advantage, your value proposition that you bring to consumers? And that really doesn't appear, in my recent experience with produce, doesn't appear to be important really for most people. And so I think you first have to establish that there's a need or a desire to have a brand in that space. And then the next question you have to answer is why, right? Why do you need or want a brand there? And if you look at Halo, for example, I mean, they've done a pretty good job of establishing who they are and what they represent in the space. And really, there's not a lot of competition in terms of brand building or brand recognition. So I think that if anybody is looking to build a brand in the produce space, and seeing that the end, because you and I have had a lot of conversations about this, but seeing that the produce industry is interested right now and kind of going that direction, now is the time. You have to get ahead of it, because like planting an orange tree, you don't plant the tree and tomorrow pick oranges. That's how brand building is as well. You have to start to plant those seeds now, and then it takes time to build the brand and build that position, and so that later you're going to see the return on that investment.
It's such a true story, man. I mean, for every grower that's listening to you right now, they're sitting going, yep, understood. Yep, got it. And it's important to understand that not everybody understands this either, right? There is a learning curve for everybody. I mean, I will tell you, 2020 put a pivot in everybody's, I would say, pocketbook, looking at how they spend marketing dollars. I mean, obviously it was a very positive year for a lot of people because they were able to shift their business in a way they never knew how, right? Creating new platforms online. Heck, like I said, look what we did with FlavorWave and how we're still building that out, you know, over the next year or 2 years. I mean, you got to look at that, at how you developed your online presence. And then you've got some that have this online presence, but they don't know what to do with it, right? So, you know, you could have 90,000 followers, but if those 90,000 followers aren't really following you, I mean, you have to create something to keep them coming back, to keep content building with them. And that's what, you know, that brand could be it, right? I mean, establishing yourself. I mean, think about it. In a commodity world, like I said, why do we care if one grain of rice is branded, right? But a package of rice is normally branded. So it's like the same thing. You talk about Halos, you know, you talk about Cuties. I mean, they did a good job because, I mean, heck, now they got a YouTube channel that has all these guys, like a cartoon channel of these Halos characters, right? Or it's like these characters, you know, both of them. But it's crazy. It's because now they're developing you know, their own monetization in a different level, right? I mean, the following in the consumer base. And that's what a lot of people aren't understanding, is that everybody wants to look at, you know, this marketing space, now digital marketing, Joe, right? And please tell me your main phrase on the digital marketing, right? Digital marketing doesn't exist. Joe's going to talk about that, but not right this second. But yeah, man, it's like, everybody's like, where's the ROI? Where's the ROI? I need it. I need it now. Right. I feel like everybody's like that J.G. Wentworth. It's my money and I need it now. Like,
you know, hey, if it were that easy, everybody be doing it. Right. So here's what's really important for anybody out there right now who's thinking about branding. First, you got to know, like, what kind of player do you want to be in the space? Maybe you don't want to be a branded player, and that's fine if you don't. But here's what you don't want to do, is you don't want to decide that you want to be a brand player 2 years from now when the competition decided it today. That's important, because if you wait for 2 years to plant the tree when your competition is planting the trees today, they're going to be producing fruit while you're planting seeds and planting trees. And you cannot afford to do that if you want to be a brand player. So decide today if that's where you want to be and what you want to do, start working on it now. And you're not going to get that return on investment today, because brand building, it's building for a reason. It takes time to build something. So brand building is a process that takes time. And it takes time to not only establish a brand, like people recognize your name or your logo or both of those things, but recognizing what you represent. Are you the cute little, you know, tangerine with no seeds in it that's easy to peel? Okay. Now that not only tells me what you are, but it eliminates every other handheld fruit possibility out there. If I don't have to peel an apple now. Right. So it's easier to carry around than a bag of grapes. So what you're going to realize, you're not in competition with all of the other people who grow the one item that you grow. You're in competition with everybody who where the money for that particular product could go to otherwise. You're against the candy bar, you're against the apples, you're against the portable bag of chips, you're against all those things. So how do you establish your position? What do you want to be? But you got to start now, and it takes time to condition consumers to kind of come over to your side of what you want to do. And that takes a lot of time. So it's not like a vending machine where you walk up and you put a quarter in the slot and pull a lever and out pops, you know, the result at the end. That's not how we measure ROI for branding. We measure it over time and a net result over a period of time. Just like, you know, buying the land and the trees and the seeds and all the investment that goes into before you have a single fruit come off of a tree.
Pre-strategy before the execution. It is fantastic to be listening to Joe Vance. I am full smiles over here because it's something that I've learned over the last, you know, year and a half, and then obviously jumpstarted over the last, you know, 6 to 8 months. But this is a perfect time to hear from some of our sponsors, hearing from their brands and, right, building the community together.
Right.
Welcome to Terra Exports, a fast-paced, entrepreneurial, and innovative multinational fresh produce company with 8 divisions worldwide that handle fruits and vegetables across 65 countries. Did you know that Terra Exports was featured 3 times in Inc. 5000's fastest-growing companies? Terra Exports starts at the ground, literally, with the growth of the product at the farm all the way through distribution channels up into the end user. They take pride in their products arriving fresh and damage-free, and they're there every step of the way, working alongside suppliers and customers who share in their common goal. Visit Terra Exports at www.terraexports.com, as well as following them on social media on LinkedIn, Instagram, and Facebook. If you get on their website, you can also check their availability calendars and all of the produce that they have in store. When you join Terra Exports, you become a member of their global team of thinkers, innovators, dreamers, and doers who are bringing a fresh approach to the produce and supply chain industry. So reach out to Terra Exports today at terraexports.com. Are you ready to enhance your skills? Every day we are tasked to make fast, effective decisions to keep up with the fast-paced produce industry. At Ag Tools, we take the pressure off of gathering data to help make your day easier and more enjoyable. Connecting the supply chain with Ag Tools is unique, practical, and easy. Ag Tools can be used from multiple angles of the produce industry, from farmers all the way to logistics companies. We call that 360-degree decision-making day after day. Visit www.ag.tools.com to gain more reliable and relevant data to see more, achieve more. And now, back to our show.
Welcome back, everyone. It's always great to hear from some of our sponsors. Hey, those are brands, everyone. Those are new brands or old brands or just brands that are making themselves more aware than where they were yesterday. And that's what Joe talked about starting today, really. And that's what we want you to do in your presence, not just digitally, but all over, right, Joe? I mean, listen, if there's a strategy, we know we can interact in digital, we can act in print, we can act in billboards. There are more than one ways to advertise and market your business. And now is the time. 2021 is the year of fruits and vegetables, everybody. So let's get your brand and the produce industry awareness out to the rest of the world. Again, not that they don't know that we're here. Trust me, there's a whole section in the grocery stores that say fresh produce. Everybody knows there's fresh produce. They just might not know your brand. So Joe, welcome back on the line, my man.
Hey man, it's so good to be here. Thanks so much for the opportunity to share about brand building, because I really think that brand building is going to play a key role in the produce industry this year, whether it's new brands launching or doing kind of that back end work of strategy and setting up for future brand launches.
Yeah, I keep telling everybody 2022 is going to be a great year. Why? Because I've been setting this stuff up since 2020. I mean, I've been, you know, it's the funny thing. I mean, Joe, you remember when we first met, we talked about the millennial boom. We talked about my book. Years ago, back in the days, Joe, back when we were meeting at the Tampa Bay Business Network at Bahama Breeze in Tampa, But it's like, I was promoting my book back then. It doesn't mean I've stopped promoting it to everybody. I spent money in certain areas, right? And I tell this story, Joe, you've been on calls with me because you're in our calls now for Flavorwave, but you've heard me so many times talk about my book. I published the book, everybody, in October of 2018. I started marketing June of 2018, which obviously, you know, I should have marketed way before that, you know, in my knowing that, but I did it myself, right? I was doing a lot of this myself with my co-author, Hans Finzel. We published the book through his publishing company and then had it printed through Amazon. So we did a lot of different things. We did a lot of things on our own just because that's the way we decided to do it. And then we created this marketing budget. So it's like we put money into it and then we saw the return. Obviously, when we did the pre-release in June, right, Joe? We did that pre-release. Right. We got some traction. We got a lot of people. We had like 66 people show up to the event. We sold over 100 books in the pre-release, right? Just really exciting stuff. But now it's like, what? It's 2021. Obviously, 2020, I didn't have any in-person speaking events. But now I'm booked in speaking events for 2021. If you were to go back in 2018, and ready, Joe? Ready? I'm going to ask the hard question. Okay?
Okay.
Hey, Joe, it's 2018. If I give you $10,000 for this book advertising, how many shows are you going to guarantee me in 2021? And how much book sales are you going to do for me?
Oh boy. Yeah. See, that's always the loaded question. It's a question I've had to answer like every day since I got into marketing. It's a question you have to answer when you're taking marketing classes too, because there's no, okay. So here's what's really interesting about the ROI question, right? Is it really depends on what life stage your brand is in. If I ran an ad for McDonald's, for example, and there's like some really, really good deal on chicken nuggets. I don't know. I'm making something up here. Well, you already know who McDonald's is. You already know where McDonald's is. You already know what a McDonald's nugget tastes like. And now based on this value proposition of some sort of special offer, all you have to do is see the message when you're hungry and go to McDonald's and get it. So it's a lot easier to predict return on investment in terms of I have to put the message out there for X dollars, and this is how many people will come buy chicken nuggets. But what else they factor into that? Because like I said, the brand is already mature. You already know what that is. But what else factors into that is, well, all I got to do is get you to the drive-thru. And of course, you're going to get these delicious golden fries and a Coke. So I've taken this dollar, you know, six nuggets for a dollar or whatever the offer is, and I've turned it into an opportunity to upsell, which McDonald's does a really great job at doing. So it's not how many nuggets did I sell for my $10,000 ad spend. It is a net ROI over a period of time, right? It's because we sold nuggets and we upsold drinks and fries. Now, I would ask you this, what does your process look like for upselling? Once you got me in the drive-through, what's your process look like? Does the person on the microphone ask me if I would like a drink with that? If I would like fries with that? Would I like a medium or a large? So all of these pieces play into your return on investment. There's no major brand that's looking at a dollar set spend and saying that if I spend $10,000, how many nuggets will I sell? What they're looking for is, because they know they have a full process, for a full sales process, that marketing will get the customer to the drive-through, but the sales process, which everyone at McDonald's is trained to follow, is going to multiply that spend, multiply that opportunity to sell. And they're able to do that predictably because of the maturity of their brand. When you are building a new brand or elevating a brand that really doesn't have a lot of recognition, there are so many variables that you really can't, you really need to focus on what is your brand equity. And there are ways to measure brand equity and brand strength and things like that through brand building. But it's not how many oranges will I sell if I spend $10,000 on advertising.
Yeah, it's so true, because think about it like this. All right, produce people, ready? And if you look at, like, you know, a berry bush, a citrus tree, I mean, obviously we know citrus a little bit better, But every year that citrus is not going to produce the exact amount of oranges that it did the previous year. It's not going to produce the exact amount of lemons or limes. And guess what? There's a thing called Mother Nature, which you have no control over. So that definitely plays a huge factor. Joe, I know you're a hunting guy. You're an outdoorsman. You know about Mother Nature. Maybe not on the growing side, but you know about it on the hunting side and what it can do, what it can do to you out there. You know what I mean?
So, oh, yeah.
And I relate that in conversation because everybody, it's so true. Because if you're like, okay, all right, seriously, we're going to spend $50,000 this year, everyone, because we produced, you know, $650,000 widgets. Okay. It doesn't work like that in a tree, because if the temperature is colder and you lose more fruit, or if there's a freeze and you lose more fruit, you're only going to have a minimal cost. You're going to still have the, well, here, you're going to have the fixed cost already involved in your marketing spend. Now you're right. 40% of your crop. You can't go back and say, oh, you know what? Every orange on there is at a negative right now until all the other oranges come back. No, your return on investment is looked at differently on that overall crop. What was produced each year is almost different. You can even take it for a factor of, Joe, you can look at maybe a 3-year marketing evaluation spend, how much money was spent versus how many packages were sold. And as Joe talks about, even with us at FlavorWave, is the data. He's like, well, now we can start comparing the data to something that's really out there. I mean, FlavorWave, Joe, it's a new concept. It's really not in the industry right now. You know, it's like we got a network of drivers, we got a network of wholesalers, and now a network of customers. That model's not around right now. So it's like every bit of data that comes in, we're analyzing it to understand, okay, what are we doing? What can we do differently? And how can we gain more momentum?
Absolutely. And, you know, I don't want people to get the idea that it's, you know, this kind of reckless spending or high risk. I mean, it's the thing is we do have consumer data. Okay. And everything we do at JMC Brands, and this is why we have our own agency and don't, you know, this is why I left the New York ad agency world, is to have control over some of these variables, because we are principle based. And, you know, that means that we understand how people, like, there's a process that everyone follows when making a purchase. And we say, okay, well, instead of trying to like a one size fits all, what I want to know is what it is you're selling and who you're selling it to and where that need is. And I want to customize that purchase process and that funnel to your exact needs, like we've done with FlavorWave. And so I can take the data that we know about consumer behavior, and I can bring that experience and that knowledge over to whoever you are, whatever brand, whatever industry. And then I can say, you know, we can take certain data sets anyway, and we can make some reasonable predictions. And then when we apply that knowledge and then apply the budget, now we learn how people in your industry are interacting with this new technology or this new way of buying produce. And then we start to hone in on that. And then we start, as we do that, we refine the process and we get better at it. And that is what I really love about running our own agency, is that our ability to dive deep into those kinds of things. One thing that I got to come back to here, because it's so, so important, is, you know, I see it all the time with marketing spend, is people say, okay, we're doing our business, but I don't know marketing. I know produce, but I don't know marketing. Or if it's automotive, I know cars, but I don't know marketing. So they bring in a marketing person, and they, with limited marketing knowledge, they bring in an expert in marketing and then want to still kind of run the show a bit, which is fine because I want to learn your industry. But here's what you got to think about for a second, right? You can't count every, for example, let's just say this, when you started your business, right? You had to buy a printer and paper and a stapler and staples and all of these things. And how many times have you ever walked over to your secretary and said, hold on, how many staples have you used today? And what is the return on investment for each single staple that you use and the paper that you use to scratch paper and throw it? Like, you can't do that about everything that you spend money on in your business. So one of these things is very critical, which is brand building and marketing, and you have an expert in there. You can't break it down to that either. It is a net gain that you're looking for. And these efforts, and this is why omnichannel is so, so important. If you were to say, I'm only placing ads on Google, for example, then I would expect, yes, a Google ROI. But what we like to do is we take the omnichannel approach, because I say anywhere that your brand exists, if it's on the side of your truck and it's your truck's running a route for deliveries, that's branding that you're getting. So let's take a look at what neighborhoods are along that truck route, right? That have an audience that looks like your target audience. And let's geo-target that neighborhood, because now we've got force multipliers. Your truck's going to ride that route every day anyway. So people are going to see that brand. And if we can insert that brand in other ways, the billboard, the newspaper, the digital marketing pieces that are going to layer over that same neighborhood. We don't have to be everywhere everyone is all the time, but we can do this. We can appear to be everywhere your target audience is very frequently. And that is the power of omnichannel.
Ain't that the truth? You know, Joe, that's a perfect, I would say, ending segment, because I think we have given the guests enough to chew on, I would say, to give you a call. They're going to be typing in your website address immediately as they hang up or we hang up. But it's so true. Everything that you're saying, and not just that I'm promoting JMC Brands or Joe Manns, but we always say when something fits and it's right and it works, is let's start building on it, right? You know, yeah. Don't just jump to conclusions, you know, build off these theories, test them again and again and again, see how they're working, pivot, be flexible, move things around, knowing that, and I tell this to a lot of people, listen, just because, you know, you live in Michigan doesn't mean everybody loves fruit from Michigan. Just because you live in California doesn't mean everybody wants a California orange, right? Everybody's going to want a different taste. They want a different preference. And that's how we all are, right? We're all individuals. We wouldn't have that word if we weren't. So, Joe, I want to thank you for coming on the show today. If anybody wants to get a hold of you, get a hold of your organization, how can they go ahead and do that?
Yeah, the best way to reach us is at our website, jmcbrands.com. And if you want to get on my calendar or one of our team members' calendar, there's a schedule a demo button right at the top. So that will get you from right from our website right onto the calendar in a matter of a couple of clicks. You can also find us on social media. It's at JMC Brands for all social media platforms.
Everyone, check out JMC Brands. Joe is normally on our networking events as well. So if you want to get him in a networking room without getting on his calendar, we do have our networking event on either Wednesdays or Thursdays, the third of the month. And we talk all things produce. So you look out for those invites on LinkedIn and any of the Produce Industry Podcast's social media channels. But Joe is normally on those calls as well. So Joe, again, thank you for coming on the show, and thank you for your support in the produce industry.
Hey, it's my pleasure. I'm happy to help. Thanks for having me.
You've been listening to the Produce Industry Podcast with Patrick Kelly. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes or Anchor to get new, fresh weekly episodes. For more, please follow us on Instagram and Facebook at the Produce Industry Podcast. Until next time, see you in the fields or on the horizon.